2018 is a year of the Holy Ghost in fire. The big 18 for 2018. And it's interesting that when Susan was doing her fast, that the Holy Spirit talked about the fruits of the Spirit being the power, or the power of the Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit we often think about being just, you know, love, joy, peace. But each one is powerful. Yeah, the force of love, the force of joy. Very powerful, overriding every situation and circumstances that you can use. Joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's powerful. It's not a little fruit on the tree. It's an abundant, it's powerful. And as we come into this area, realizing that 2018 is the nine fruits and the nine gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. In manifestation. And the word was that it's not, the time is not just coming, but it's already here. It's already.
The fruit is on the vine now.
Yes.
Take it now.
But as his sons and daughters, we're going to have supernatural explosions going on throughout 2018. But listen to this, particularly in the area of holiness and cleansing. Holiness and cleansing. Do you know that God doesn't move until there's cleansing in the church? And there's a lot of cleaning to do. You know, right spread, there's a lot of cleaning to do. So, that was just to warm you up. So it was a surprise for everyone. So, okay. So who believes in miracles? I guess some might believe in miracles. It wasn't really that convincing, but well, who knows the miracle worker? What's his name? Jesus. He goes by a few other names too. What other name does he go by? Yeah? But also Jehovah Rapha, which translated means, I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord that heals you. It's interesting that Jesus has names. So he can minister right to your need. If your need is healing, then he's Jehovah Rapha. That's it. He's got a name, especially for your situation. So you go to him with that name when you have a situation. He's also
Jehovah Jireh.
What is he? He's your provider. He provides your every need, your every desire. He's got a name for every situation. So you have to know who it is and what the name is. And you go to him on the basis of what he's done for you. I trust you're ready for your miracle today. You know, I always remember going back years ago when, you know, I was would listen to Catherine Kuhlman and some of the great healing evangelists back in the 60s. You know, they would just stay on this all the time, you know. Yeah, there's a miracle happening today. Expect a miracle every day. And it was like, it was a catch cry. There wasn't too much word dished out, but it was, they moved in miracles. And people expect it. And that's, we've got to get our expectancy in the Lord as high as we can get it. Expecting him to do something. And not just in the by and by, in the now, today. If you expecting God to do something in 2018, I don't think you're ever going to get it. We have to get it now. Every time that Jesus moved, it was now. He didn't come to one person and say, you know, in a few months, maybe sometime down the track. It was already today, now, now, now. Now faith is. It's always now. It's never some other time. So every time you find yourself thinking, you know, I just need to study more. I just need to do this. I need to do that. No, it's available right here, right now. Today is the day of salvation. It really is. You know, I want to remind you again that in the word that you're fighting against somebody who wants to take your healing. He wants to take your stuff. He wants to steal from you. And that's what we've been doing over this last few weeks. We've been talking about John 10:10. And the thief comes only in order to steal, kill and destroy. And he comes to steal first. And he'll do this every time the word's sown. So every time you come and hear the word sown, he's going to come with something to steal it away. And when he can steal the word from you and from your life, then he'll steal your words or your faith or your confession so that you focus on the problem. You come with a word, you hear the word, and faith comes, but then he comes back and he hits you with the problem again. It comes back with that pain or that memory of the pain, or it comes back with the memory of the issue that was never resolved. It comes back to remind us of our limitations every day. And he tells you, you're never going to get over this. You're never going to succeed. You've been a failure. But that's not what the Word of God says. See, Mark 11:22-24 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, you can be assured of this. Whoever says to this mountain, this obstacle, this issue that looks like a mountain in your life, when you look at the situations that you're facing, they seem enormous, like a mountain. If you've looked at a big mountain, it's immovable in the natural. You look at an obstacle like a mountain, and it looks impossible for that to move. There will be a day, it says, where every mountain will be made low. Every island will disappear. So it's not impossible. The thing that you think is impossible is not possible. It's not impossible with God. So he will make every mountain a plain. Every arm will disappear at his word. You've got to realize it's at his word that he does this. He says, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Believe you receive them. See, Jesus said, by saying and believing what you say, you'll receive and you'll have what you say. It's really important that we understand what God's talking about here. But there's a struggle that goes on the inside of us when we're required to use our faith and to call things that are not as though they are. There's a struggle. It just goes on, and it comes to a point where you think, I'm a hypocrite when I say these things. But that's what the Word says. We have to link ourselves in with the Word of God. We have to make your words like God's words. This morning, I want to speak to you on calling yourself healed. Calling yourself healed. And that's what you have to do. You've got to call for what you want, not for what you've got. If every time you're calling the problem, that's what you're going to have. If every day you get up and you rehearse the issue by saying, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. It's overcoming me. There's too many issues. I can't push back the darkness. I can't push back the depression. I can't silence the voices. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's what you're calling yourself. But if you get up every day and you say, by his stripes I'm healed. I am more than an overcomer. We've got to make the words of God our words. We've got to take his word and declare them so they become our words. And it doesn't matter what thought comes in your mind. We cast that down. You believe in your heart. Because thoughts will come. The enemy has got literally arrows of thoughts shooting him at us all the time, so he gets us off course. But you have a decision. You either receive those thoughts or you cast them down. Call them a lie. Every time they come, you say, you're a liar and you're the father of lies. And you've tried to steal the word of my life, but I'm not letting you. You're not stealing my life. You're not going to kill and destroy my life. Because my life is linked with the Lord's. In Him, I live and move and have my being. It's in Him. So I've got a question for you this morning. You don't have to answer this out loud, but I want you to think about this. What has your faith accomplished? What have you got recorded down that your faith has accomplished? Have other people seen and heard what your faith has accomplished? Do other people know of what's happened? That's why Israel would put these little altars of rocks and they would mark it as a memory of what God did when He responded to somebody's faith. Every time somebody stepped out on faith and God moved, so they put a monument down there to remind them of what faith had done. It's good. Where your testimony comes from is what God's done in your life. You've got a testimony to say, and you testify what God has done. And you're not boasting on yourself, you're boasting in what God has done, because you can't do anything. I can't do anything. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So who do I give glory to? I give glory to Him. It's His power. All I'm doing is speaking what He says. All I'm doing is declaring what He's done. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mentions of you in my prayer. So the Apostle Paul has got really very excited when he heard the faith of the Ephesian church and the great things that they were doing by faith. He got so excited when he heard of their great love and the miracles that were abounding in their midst. So he went to pray more. He said, because I've heard of your great faith, I'm excited. I'm going to pray for you every day. Because God was moving. God was responding. See, God responds to faith. He doesn't respond to doubt. He responds to faith. Likewise, in the Colossian church, in Colossians 2 and verse 5, he said, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Here, this church, the Colossian church, were steadfast, that means immovable, in their faith. No matter what happened, no matter what came against them, they were not moved. Why? They were anchored into the Word of God. They had decided that they would anchor their life into the word of Jesus. Immovable. Nobody could move them. Doesn't matter what opposition it came against them, and all hell would break out against them. But they were immovable. No, we're not moving from this. We're holding fast to our confession. The confession of our faith. Steadfast. What immovable things have you called into the scene realm or into existence? If you haven't, you better start sowing. It's time to start sowing so you can see these things happen. It's so very important to say the right thing and hold fast to our confession without wavering when you're believing for a miracle. And this is what Hebrews 4 and verse 14 said. And the more I meditate this word, the more exciting it became to me. And it said, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So this is a great thing that we've had somebody, a forerunner, somebody who has paved the way, who came from heaven to earth. Then he went from earth back to heaven. So he's done the whole round trip for us. He's passed through every realm. The unseen realm to the seen realm, from the seen realm to the unseen realm. He's done it so that we can have access. And it says, let us hold fast our confession, which is translated directly from the word homologia, which is let us hold fast to saying the same thing that God says. That's our confession. Saying the same thing that God says. Every time something comes up, don't go to what you know. Open the Word and says, what does God say? That's what I'm choosing to say about that situation. I'm going to put my eyes on this and I'm going to declare what God says. Because when you declare what God says, His power is backing that word up. His power does not back your word up or my word up. It backs His word up. He is obligated to His word. So your confession is to say the same thing that God says about the situation. You should study it. That's why I asked you to do homework over these last few weeks. You've got to get the word of God about what you need and what you desire and only say that. Doesn't matter what comes at you. Doesn't matter how bad you feel, how sick you feel. Physician, get up and heal yourself. Declare these words. Get the word of God regarding the miracle that you want and confess it and only speak the word of God and never speak the issue. Even to the place that you ignore the issue. And it's not being the ostrich at all. It's not sticking your head in the ground and ignoring the issue at all. No, you choose to declare what God says, not declare what your body says. Every time you declare what your body says, your faith's eroded. And you might go around limping. I don't care, as long as you're declaring you're healed. So your body wants to cause you to be sick, to suffer, to be limited. But don't give it a moment. Go back to what the God says. No, by His stripes I'm healed. Mark 5 and verse 21. Now when Jesus crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him, and He was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet and begged Him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Now, when he's saying lies at the point of death, the last rites have been given on this situation. The mourners have gathered. Everyone knew that, if she was in hospital, she'd be in palliative care. You know, they'd be administering the morphine, all those things to quicken the whole thing up. It's like, this is the last bit. She's at the point of death. And listen to what he says. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude thronged him. So Jairus was a leader of the synagogue in Gennesaret, on the Lake of Galilee, and would have been highly honored in his role. If you were a religious leader or a leader of a synagogue, you were pretty highly honored. So he would have been very honored. Now he had heard and possibly had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. Because Jesus was doing miracles in that area. He'd been doing it. That was probably his favorite area to minister. Because the Holy Spirit was ministering. So he would do what the Lord did. So there was an openness. People were receptive to the word of God in that region. People were hungry. And where hungry people are, the bread of life comes to feed them. He feeds the hungry. See, bread's no good for those who are not hungry. And He's the bread of life. So He comes to feed the hungry. That's what He does. He comes to feed the ones that are expecting miracles. That's what He does. So He came and in that area He performed many miracles, like casting out demons, healing multitudes of people, stopping the storm with a word. Yet when He saw Jesus, He fell down at His feet and begged Him to come and heal His daughter because she was at the point of death. And all natural hope of His daughter surviving had gone. She was about to die. And I guess there was physicians would have been involved in that day. The local physicians would have been there. And they would have said, we can't do one thing for her. We've tried everything we can. There is no hope. And now she would have been weak, probably not very conscious, dropping in and out of coma or sleep. That's what happens when people are dying. They're very rarely conscious. She was at the point of death. But I want you to notice his words of faith. He said, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. See, now there was a great urgency in the voice of Jairus. He knew that it wasn't long, if only. And it's a bit like Mary and Martha. If Jesus, if only you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. They knew he was a healer. There was great faith in what his ability was to do, but he had to be there. There was a point of contact that they were looking for. And Martha said, Lord, if you'd only been here, he would not have died. And Jairus knew, if you could just touch her, if you just lay your hands on her, she will live. And so Jesus was willing. So his confession starts out well by saying, she will live. And Jesus agrees to go straight to Jairus' house. But on the way, something happens. And we covered this a little bit last week, but I want to look a little bit deeper at it today. And it's Mark 5 and verse 25. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So we cover this, but I want to expand about on this today. This woman was desperate. She had reached the end of her ability and the ability of people she knew. She spent everything she had to try and get well. She'd lost all hope in the medical profession. It only failed her. It made her get worse. Whatever they did had made her worse. All we know that she was continually had a flow of blood from her body, and whatever physician they did went to her, and whatever they tried to do made her worse. So now it wasn't just a trickle, it was continual flow. Her life was coming out of her body. And she was completely broke. It had isolated her from her friends and family. We know that Jewish law forbid any woman with a flow of blood to associate with anyone. She had to be in isolation until the blood flow stopped, but it didn't stop. On top of that, she grew worse. And there was no hope. But she had heard about Jesus. She had heard that he healed the sick, opened blind eyes, cleansed the leper, and cast out demons. She had heard all these things. I don't think that she actually saw them because she wasn't allowed. She heard. And that's what the scripture says. She heard what Jesus could do. She hadn't been one of those ones that could see and then believe. She had to hear and believe. So she had greater faith because she believed what she heard rather than what she saw. So she put her faith out. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word made flesh. Now she had faith because she kept saying, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. By her saying, when I touch his clothes, I shall be made well, she was sowing the word in her heart. The roots were being established and she was rooted and grounded, and her faith was already producing fruit. She had already had she already received a healing by faith, because she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She knew the only thing she had to do was to complete her faith by touching something, by doing something that she believed in her heart would release the healing flow in her life. She could have done something else. She could have said, if I spin around three times, in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to be healed. But that's all she put her faith was, what if I just touch the hem of his garment? And that's why oftentimes we just have an altar call, because people need to respond to their faith and say, if I just come out, I'm responding in faith, then God's going to release healing in my life. There's times that people get healed in their sleep. And we'll find out there's people that they get healed by all sorts of things, but there's a point of contact that you need. There's something that needs to happen to get your faith moving. She was calling for the invisible thing that was not evident in life to nullify the thing that was. She was calling healing to nullify the blood flow. We don't know how many times she said, when I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. But the Greek word for she said is legō, L-E-G-O. That's the Greek word, which means to say, to speak and to affirm over and over. That's the Greek word. So she logoed, or it means that she said over, over and over again, she made her confession steadfast. If only I touch. I don't know how hard it was for her to press through the crowd. I don't know how difficult it was in her situation of being bent over with this continual issue happening in her life, how hard it was for her to press through, but it was difficult. But she kept saying, over and over, if I just touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be made well. If I just do this, I shall be made well. And that's what we should be doing. We should be getting the word of God over our situation and ignoring what's happening, press through the difficulty of what's happening in our life and say, if I just touch him, if I just release my faith, I'm whole. And this is a woman who's got a death sentence on her life. Her life was literally bleeding out of her. Her body was not able to recover because it was getting worse. It was getting worse. Her prognosis was not good. Every doctor she'd been to had said, well, we can't do a thing for you. Just go and rest up now. Take it easy. Just enjoy the few days or the few months you got left. Your future is not good. And you might be looking at that today and say, my future is not good in the natural. It looks like a mountain that I'm staring at in the natural. But you have the Word of God that moves mountains, the Word of God that heals, the Word of God that delivers. And every time she confessed that, the roots got deeper and deeper in her life. She was producing something. The seed had taken root. And she was producing a tree in her life. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up when she touched the hem of his garment. Immediately. And she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that something, that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Told him the whole truth. And it wasn't just a short little thing. You can imagine how frustrated Jairus would be right now. His daughter is on death's door. And then there's an interruption to Jesus going to his house to lay hands upon her. And in fact, here's this woman, and we know that women have really gifted in this area, can tell the whole story.
We tell good stories.
And she would have told the whole story here of what had happened to her and how she suffered many things and what had happened to her finances and her friends and her family had been taken away. And she would have told the Lord because such a great thing had happened to her. Should have given her life story. And when the Bible says that she told him the whole truth, it means that she was telling Jesus everything that happened to her over the last 12 years, the whole truth. Everything that had happened, including every charlatan physician who tried to do something to her. and taken her finances. And verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith, not my faith, not his faith, your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't even have a pre-knowledge by the Holy Spirit that this was going to happen. He was on the mission to go to Jairus' house. He was going there. But faith made a demand on him. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Make a demand on Jesus with your faith today. Don't wait for something to happen down the week, down the end of the week or in 2008. Don't wait then. Do it now. If you were this woman, what would you have done after you were healed? I mean, you've been a prisoner for 12 years. You've been kept away from people for 12 years. And now you're healed immediately of your affliction. What would you have done? Well, people all around her would have been congratulating her for a start, for her faith stand and for her healing. Because Jesus publicly said, your faith has made you whole. Everyone else was looking to the faith of Jesus. If only he would just touch me. If only I could get close enough to him. Maybe I could be one of the lucky ones that gets healed. No. She said, if I touch him, I will be healed. Her faith. And Jesus announced it. Your faith has made you whole. So she was going. She wasn't going to go home. She stayed with that crowd. She followed Jesus, and everyone was coming up to her saying, how did you do that? What happened? I just said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That's what I did. All I did, I just said this over and over and again because I heard that he was a healer. I heard that he was Jehovah Jireh. I heard that he was Jehovah Rapha. I heard that the names that he has, I know that he is sent by God. And so people were there. And I believe she was sent at that time because the next thing was going to happen. So verse 35, while he was still speaking with her, while Jesus was still talking about this thing that had happened in her life, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher further? Right then, and there is where Satan is crouching ready to steal the word by injecting fear into the situation. And death is a fearful thing. Jairus is now confronted with a fear of death, and those words are still ringing in his ear. Your daughter is dead. And if you've been around death, and those words are death, these words hit Jairus like a sledgehammer, and it will knock the wind out of you when those words come, because it's final. When somebody dies, it's like heaviness comes. You know, and people don't want you to talk about anything. You don't know how to come up to somebody who's just lost somebody and what to say to them. You know, what are you going to say to somebody who's lost somebody? Well, you know, never mind. You know, now, I understand what you're going through. No, that's what we don't need to say that. We need to do what Jesus is dead and say, have faith. I am the resurrection and the life. But this is what happens. It comes like a sledgehammer and it will knock the wind out of you. And verse 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he heard them too. They were loud enough for Jesus to hear when they said, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. He heard it. So he straight away said this. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. So he sensed that as well. He knew that with this, that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. What did he want to do? He wanted to steal the word from Jairus. He wanted to kill his daughter and destroy his life. Right then, Many people lost a loved one, especially a child. It destroys their life. And their whole life, you see it 20, 30 years still, they're still grieving for that situation, the loss in their life. Because that's what the hallmark of the enemy is. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And that's why Jesus responded. And Jesus could sense fear trying to grab Jairus by the throat, trying to stifle. That's what it does. It tries to stop you saying anything that would be the word of God. It comes and grabs you, but Jesus stopped it right away. He said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So Jairus had witnessed a powerful demonstration of faith by a certain woman. We don't even know her name. A certain woman. She goes nameless. It's not important. It was for certain it was a woman. The Holy Spirit had set up the sequence of events and the timing to increase Jairus' faith, because he knew that she was at the point of death and he knew that the enemy was trying to kill. And you can only say that that sickness was from the enemy. That sickness came from Satan. It didn't come from God. And death came from Satan. It didn't come from God. But he knew that Satan was trying to speed up the situation so that there would be loss, so this thing would happen. And being the leader of the synagogue, he knew the Psalms. That was part of their, that was one of the most read passages, the Psalms. He knew that Psalm 107, verse 19, "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, "and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death." This was the situation. He knew the word. She was at the door of death, and he knew that Jesus was going to snatch her from the door of death. So he knew that word. Jairus had been had the word in the flesh right with him, so he refused to say a negative thing that would rob him of his daughter's healing and her life. In verse 37, "And he permitted no one follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James." So when you're standing in faith for something that is critical for you, choose carefully who you involve in your walk of faith. I don't know about you, but I don't use prayer chains. You say, "Oh, it's a bit hard." I don't. Because I want my prayers to be prayed by Bible-believing, faith-confessing Christians, not people with unbelief in their heart. I don't want people to pray prayers like, "Lord, if it's your will." You know, I would rather have one, two, or three people staying, coming in agreement with me and saying, "Who's going to come in agreement with what I'm believing for?" Choose those people and say, "All right, this is what I'm believing for. This is the scripture I'm standing on. Can you agree with me?" You know, I came and agreed with Eddie and Nick yesterday over a situation, and we called it a name. Right? We called it a name. Yep. We called it a name. You don't have to have a prayer chain of people to say, "Look, I've got a situation. It doesn't seem to be moving at all. Can you pray it?" And pass that prayer on. And people get around and say, "Lord, if it's your will." What an unbelieving prayer that is, "if it's your will." What is the will of God? What is the will of God? We know what the will of God is. We should know what the will of God is concerning a situation. You get the will of God out. "I know your will is to heal me. I know your word is to fulfill this in my life. I'm coming in agreement with that." So we're praying according to that. "Lord, we believe when we say what your word says." We don't come to God doubting and unsure what he will do. You know, I've heard many Christians say this: "You never know what God's going to do." One of those things that really start to get my blood boiling. Oh, yes, we do. Because the word tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. If he never changes, just go in the word and find out what he's going to do. And you know what he's doing. He said he'll heal the sick. All right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will still heal today if he healed yesterday. He's going to still heal in 10 years' time. He's the same. I am the Lord your provider. He provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness when there was nothing there. Why won't he provide today? He's the same. We can come to God based on his word that he never changes and say, Lord, you never change. I know what you're going to do. This is what I believe. And never say, I wonder what God's going to do. I wonder what he's going to do. Now, you don't know how he's going to move. And that's the problem. Many people try to get to a place where they say, how's God going to do this? I saw somebody on Facebook during the week, really believing God sort of for something and putting it out there for the amount they want to do. No, that's just like, I'd rather go to God and say, Lord, you provide this. You'll move on somebody. I don't need to advertise it on Facebook. No, because I've got your word. I'm standing on your word. I'm not standing on Facebook. I'm not standing on this. No, I'm anchored into your word. I'm steadfast on your word. And I don't care if nobody knows. You know. You know my needs. You know what my request is. And that's where our faith is going to be steadfast, locked into that area. See, we know that if Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago, if Jesus healed this woman with the issue of blood 2,000 years ago, he's the same yesterday as he is today. He will heal you. He'll perform what you need in your life. Now back to Mark chapter 5 and verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and he saw a tumult. That means it was loud. Everyone was tumulting. Everyone was manifesting. And those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. I like how the Hebrew really shortens the thing. It's really good, isn't it? Less words. It's great. Immediately the girl arose and walked, and she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Verse 43. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Straight away she was healed and raised from the dead. And she was hungry. That means she's healed. Anyone's hungry is healed. Not only raised from the dead, she's completely healed. But I've got a question for you today. I said this at the beginning. Who believes in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Well, let you say so. You should say, I believe in miracles. The confession of your faith. Either you don't or you do. What do? I said, who knows the miracle worker? Jehovah Jireh, which is, I am the Lord, your physician. I'm the Lord that heals you. You know, he's ready to heal if you're ready. If you're ready to receive, he's ready to heal. He's got your healing, your miracle right now. You know, Mark 4 and verse 26. You don't need to know how God's going to heal you. You just need to know he's going to heal you. Don't need to know. Don't even try to get your mind to work it out. Mark 4 and verse 26 says this. And he said, the kingdom of God is if man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. I don't know about you, but if you've ever seen something growing underground, you can't see it. You don't know how it's happening. It's just happening. You don't know what's chemically or what's transpiring under the ground of that seed, but you know if you water it, if you put it in the right environment, it will grow. And then verse 28, For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts a sickle, because the harvest has come. And I declare to you, today your harvest has come. Today is your day for a miracle. Don't wait any longer. You've got the word. It's been sown in your heart. It's up to you now to say, I receive. I receive. We're going to sing a song together, and I encourage you, if you want to receive your miracle, today's your day. Come out and receive. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today. Lord, we thank you for the miracles that you're doing in our midst. Lord, we thank you that you have set us free from sickness, from sin, from death, from destruction. Lord, and you are our Savior. You are our healer. Lord, and right now we declare openly today that Satan, your work has been destroyed. The power of your work has been destroyed. And we come against every lie, every deceit of Satan, and we call it as it is. It's a lie, and it's from the father of lies. And we put you under our feet. We tread on you right now. We stand and we stomp on you, Satan, and you will not have victory in our lives. You'll only, right now, we declare the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, right now we declare that miracles are breaking out in our midst, Lord. Lord, right now I declare on everyone that comes in contact with people and they declare the word that miracles will happen. Lord, we declare this is a season for miracles. This is a season for the power of your Spirit, Lord, to come upon people right now. Lord, and we use the force of joy. We use the force of love. We use the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, and the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, to impact on our lives and upon the people we come in contact, Lord. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, fight with your words and fight with the Word of God. You're in a fight. Get that word out and fight. Every time the enemy comes, come back with him, and you need to beat him up 10 times. He comes back with your thought, you get 10 words, 10 scriptures out, and beat him up every time. And he will flee, the word says. He will flee from you. He does not like getting beat up. And the word destroys him. He knows his end.